Last week we took you through the childhood of a mystery man, a childhood that was full of failures on the part of everyone who was supposed to be an authoritative figure. This week we're going to jump back in after the circus fire and take you through that mystery man's later years in life. So buckle up, because this gets a bit rough.
It's evil! Don't touch it!
It's alive!
I was with you.
They're coming to get you.
This is
me.
Hello, Mr. Fancy Pants.
Hey everybody, how's it going? We're already having fun. Just all sorts of shit behind the scenes that aren't functioning well sometimes, and most of the time it's us.
Yes, so, yeah, usually.
Lindy, how are you doing before you get into this terrible, terrible story?
You know, there's a few things in life that I never thought that I would hear, and myself as buttons is one of them, and now I have two.
Yep.
And it's incredible.
Yeah. Zach, how are you doing with the buttons?
I'm pushing the right ones today, so that's a good thing, I guess. So far, so good.
Oh, shit.
Doing okay?
I'm doing all right. I'm ready to get in on this. I think we just started a little secret club that we have a few members for already.
Yeah.
Which I'm pretty happy about.
We released the first
bonus episode
for the people that are subscribing for that material. If you'd like to do that, you can do that on Spotify for $1.99 a month. And with that, you get...
You can get a bottle of soda for that.
You definitely can't get a fucking Starbucks for that, so...
No, you certainly can't.
No. So.
Ready?
Yes.
Okay.
Nope. He says nope.
So, last week we ended with the man setting an entire fucking circus on fire. And ending... the circus effectively. Well, once he ended that circus, he hopped on the next train headed for St. Louis. The Illinois Central Railroad Company was in the midst of a full strike. The man was hired as a blacklegger, which is someone who beats strikers into submission. And not surprisingly, he excelled at it.
I was going to say, yeah, it's right up his fucking alley.
Yes.
Hey. If you do what you love, you never work a day in your life.
That's right. He was paid in wads of cash for his time, and then...
I don't like that you used wads, but...
You're welcome.
Okay.
And then the strike just ended. He did his job, and everybody came to an agreement. Strike ended, so he was out of work.
He's like, damn, damn, damn.
Yep. He left St. Louis within a week because at this point, everyone that he had beat to shit knew who he was and they
Not
were,
good.
Yeah.
Not good.
So anytime he went into a bar, anytime that he was on the street, he was being approached by groups of people who wanted to fight him.
Yeah. He's a cop being thrown into prison.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
I'm from the loot and I'm proud.
He acquired a pair of pistols and also a young man known as his punk or Angelina, which in the in the transient community, that was a child who could fit into small spaces for break-ins, and they were also used as sex slaves.
Mm-hmm. That's a punk.
The pair of them roamed the countryside committing burglaries and amassing a shit ton of cash. When they got to Jacksonville, Texas, they were caught breaking into a townhouse and were sentenced to 40 days on a road crew.
40 days!
Stapleton, man. Yeah.
The midnight train of Memphis.
Yeah.
So the boss of the road crew decided that he wanted the Angelina for himself. So he kept stealing the Angelina and using him. For his own purposes.
What in the fuck is going on?
Mm-hmm.
This must have been a handsome little fella.
It must have been. It must have been.
Anyway.
So, the man...
Poor bastard.
The man...
I hope he liked it, at least. Fuck me.
The road crew boss actually ended up getting tired of the Angelina and just passed him back to the man and... They ended up serving out their time. And on the final day, when the pair asked for their things back and were technically free, they were told no, that they couldn't have their things back because the man was so good at doing this work that they knew that they were never going to complete. Yeah. They were never going to replace him. They were never going to end up completing this job on time if he didn't stay on board. So, the boss wouldn't give any of their things back, wouldn't release them, wouldn't anything. So that night, they tried
Shawshank
to...
Redemption.
Yeah, they tried to escape. I don't know how you can escape when you're legally free, but...
Right.
They were... The man ended up being caught, and he was punished by the snorting pole, which is a 12-foot pole on end, and there is like a rope run through it for a hoop that you, and then handcuffs onto that. So you lace the hoop up under the chin and connect the handcuffs, and then they stand the rope up until you're on your tippy toes. And
what's it, any of this have to do with cocaine? You said snorting pole,
right?
you thought I was going to say gay porn.
I did. So the man was pulled up to his tiptoes, stripped naked, and whipped with a snake whip. And I don't know if anybody knows what a snake whip is, but they're actually specially designed whips that have metal points on the end so that when snakes are hit with them, it goes through the snake. So they've got stinging ends on them, basically, that are powerful enough to cut a snake in half.
Seems pleasant.
Yeah, yeah. So he was stripped naked, beat with the snake whip, and they did that for over an hour. But the man didn't make a sound, and when they lowered him down, he was still steady on his feet.
Holy shit, this guy is a fucking monster.
He's like fucking Rambo.
Yes.
He's stronger than Rambo.
He for him, it's just like the same old, same old. Yeah. He's like, well... I'm just gonna keep on going.
Oh, you're gonna beat me? What else is new?
Yeah.
Bring it.
Like, this is nothing new compared to what I've been through, dude. I just got out of Leavenworth, like, less than a year ago. So, so when the boss went...
The snake whip feels like a massage.
When the boss went over to the man to gloat, he caught the look in the man's eyes and decided that it was probably a good idea to just let him go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, most likely, yeah.
Instead of actually gloating, because there was just a murderous look in the man's eyes.
So what you're saying is he saw First Blood. The first one. And he's like, oh, I know what the fuck happened to that sheriff. I'm not fucking around with this guy.
Yeah.
It's never over.
So he wasn't given back any of his belongings except for his regular clothes, and then he was set free. It doesn't say what happened to the Angelina. It doesn't say if he just went on a separate way or what, but the man himself went out into just the plains of Texas, and he lived like an animal for a little while, surviving off of chickens that he was stealing from coops. And eventually he found his way to Oregon, and he became...
A little ICP in my head.
Chicken hunting?
Please go and chicken hunting.
Got a motherfucking
and
chicken
hunting.
I learned you, man. I learned it by watching you.
So he found his way to Oregon, and he became a logger until he was laid off for the season.
Every job this dude does is just making him more built and strong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, so when winter came, he just basically went back to a life of crime. He made his way down the Pacific coast to San Francisco, and he had stolen a bunch of stuff, and he had come up with this plan to basically bury his treasures. So he knew where all of these things were stashed in stash holes. And he went to San Francisco, where he had been a few times, to see if some of his old contacts were still around so that he could fence some of this stuff off again. Fence is basically a pawn shop, today's pawn shops. And he went into a bar bragging about the stuff that he had available to sell. And there was a man interested in a watch. He thought that he was following the man to go get cash, but instead he was cuffed. Because the people in Oregon really, really, really wanted their things back. He had hit some high-profile places.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, so the man was offered a deal. And basically, if he pled guilty and gave the location of the goods, they said that they would reduce his sentence. So he decided that he was going to take it. But when he went in front of the judge was like, fuck Wait, off. I'm giving you like... the full 7 years. Yeah, just like that.
You dumb bastard.
Yeah.
We're not cutting deals.
So he did end up getting the full 7 year sentence. And when they transferred him back to Oregon, or no, sorry, this was still in San Francisco, he went berserk when he got put behind bars because he was pissed. So, dude, snaps.
Would you like to suck some cock berserker? My love for you is like a truck berserker.
Did he say making fuck?
Yeah.
So when he was locked into his cell, he grabbed the bars and just pulled.
Fucking
and he actually ripped the bars out of their sockets.
What? The actual fuck.
So then
you wouldn't like him when he's angry.
No. And instead of just taking off, he went in and got a bunch of rags from the laundry area, and he went to all of the doors and he jammed the rags into the doors so that the guards could not pull the doors open, and he lit the fucking prison on fire.
It's not funny. The prison's on fire. Yeah.
Mr. Mongol here, unaware.
So he did end up getting caught, and he was drug into the yard, and then his ankles were broken with a hammer, and he was thrown into solitary confinement until he was transferred to the Salem Correctional Facility.
And I'm picturing some misery type shit, like they just put a block in between him, fucking
hobbled him,
let it eat. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So as soon as he got there to Salem, he found his chamber pot, he filled it with piss, and he flung it at the guard.
What else are you gonna do, man? This guy's life has been absolute a shit show. Yes. He's just like, fuck you too. You know what? Fuck everybody. Yeah. Fuck everybody.
So then he was beat, and well, he was caught, and it took a ton of guards to actually catch him. And they caught him and pulled him up and chained him to his cell door. So his feet weren't touching the ground. He was actually chained, strapped to his cell door, and then he was beat. And
this guy's skin's got to be like fucking leather. Just yes. Like, it's nothing but like scar tissue everywhere.
Yes.
He's like a fucking turtle.
Well, they left him up there for...
Teenage mutant ninja turtle.
He's got a shell across his back. He can't penetrate. The dude's just been beaten too many times.
He's got to be Raphael, though, if he's going to be a teenage mutant.
Because he's the big one.
He's angry!
He certainly is.
What the guards didn't realize was when they did that, they pulled all of the man's own weight off of his body, so they actually helped his ankles heal the way that they were supposed to. Instead, because they never gave him medical attention, so when he was off of the weight, his feet would just dangle,
heel.
And his Yeah, and his bones actually ended up healing the correct way this time.
Did he pull in the Andy Kaufman and go, thank you very much?
No, they're turning him into just like, this has been broken, but it's healed back up properly, so it's going to even be tougher to break. Just making him indestructible.
Yeah, yeah, basically.
We can rebuild him.
We can make him stronger. We can make him faster.
So the warden at the Salem Correctional Facility was...
Sorry. Fucking hell. Bless you.
He was... just kind of a sadistic son of a bitch. Like, this actually is, if you go and read about this warden, he actually is just like the warden from Shawshank Redemption. He was
sociopath fucking asshole.
Yeah, he was doing things like he was cutting the prisoners money for the labor that they had done, so they weren't getting paid. He was checking letters and stuff. He was pulling money off of their books, or he was lying about the amount of money that came in, that kind of stuff. And he just wanted, like, he needed a prison that was like military.
He needed basically. An Andy Dufresne.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So when the man, I almost just said his name.
Don't
I would have just
it.
Blew all of this. When the man met with the warden, he basically said, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing, and you're going to keep being a piece of shit. So, like, let's just cut the rigmarole and fuck yourself. So the man was assigned a personal guard, and the guard's name was Vinegar. And Vinegar was assigned to him to try and break him. Vinegar was given a special room for his special set of skills.
This guy needs fucking kryptonite. He doesn't need fucking vinegar.
No.
Yeah. So this room was full of vases full of roses and a shit ton of whips. Like, whips of all different kinds. He could just pick
this away. Sounds like, wait a minute, this sounds like a V.C. Andrews novel. Are we going into this?
I can actually hear Albert Fish jerk off.
Yeah.
In the
yeah.
afterlife. The thought of this room.
Well, Vinegar couldn't break him with just this room. So the warden met with the man again to see what could be done to quiet his problem child.
Hook him up to the machine.
The problem child was just like, I'm not going to respect you. I'm not going to respect you. I'm not going to respect your policies. I'm not going to live by your rules. I am going to do everything I can to escape this place. Basically, again, told him to go fuck himself.
Yep. He's a walking middle finger. That's
every
gigantic.
One of us has now sneezed.
Yep. It's my allergies. They're bad.
Damn you, spring.
Well, the next day, the man was taken by Vinegar to a room that had a bathtub in it that was full of cooler water. It wasn't like ice water, but it was just colder water.
Cool, clean water. So
it was filled to about halfway. And when the man looked over at Vinegar was putting on like a rubber overcoat and rubber gloves. And the man just started laughing. Like the sight of it, he was just like, what the fuck are you doing?
I'm guessing electricity is what he's going to be doing.
You don't want to get yourself wet or what? Well,
I made her
Vinegar
do it.
Got pissed when the man started laughing at him. And
pissing Vinegar.
He reached down and pulled a cloth off of a sponge and battery setup.
Ooh.
This was known as a hummingbird, and basically what would happen is you would get the sponge wet, and it was connected by, like, battery cables.
The current, yeah.
Yeah.
Jump leads.
As you moved the sponge up the person's body, it focused the electricity on wherever that was. And
this is a common torture technique for the... dare I say it? The CIA. Yeah.
So, still, the man didn't break. And I'm not quite sure how, but he didn't break. So
he's fucking Rambo.
He,
the evil version of Rambo.
Yes. He was working in the prison's workshop.
He's fucking Bane. I mean, really, the dude is fucking Bane. Getting angrier and angrier and bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
What the fuck are we doing? Yeah. Why didn't they just give him HGH? He's tearing prison bars apart. What are we doing?
Yeah.
Kill him or fucking let him go? I don't know.
Honestly, I think if they had just let him go, he would have just kept committing stupid crimes and
well,
we
wouldn't have gotten
to the end of this story.
But also, if they'd have shot him, it might have just pissed him off.
Yeah, yeah.
Now he's got an even angrier Bane.
Yeah. So they were letting him work in the prison's workshop, and there's chemicals in the prison workshop. So...
He's going to fucking make a bomb or light something on fire.
A Molotov cocktail sort of situation.
He lit the prison or the workshop on fire and stole an axe.
That's the scariest son of a bitch ever.
So he's running around the prison with an axe, chasing
not
guards.
My war. Not my war, just... Colonel. I didn't start it. Did drew first blood.
Yeah. I picture him just walking. Just like with it over his shoulder while everything's exploding behind him, but he doesn't fucking care. He's just walking through his life. Evil doesn't get in a hurry.
So he's chasing the guards with the axe, and as he's going, he's breaking as many windows as he can so that smaller prisoners can get out. And he ended up setting free like 48 prisoners of the smaller prisoners this way because they were able to climb out of the windows. So the bigger guys weren't able to get out, but the smaller, tinier prisoners were able to just jump out of the prison. So
I can make these guys my bitches.
Yeah. So naturally...
he's got this, minions.
Naturally, this pisses the warden off, and he's placed in the dungeon
without...
light or food for 61 days.
Fucking Bane.
He ate the bugs that he found on the floor to survive.
Fucking Bane.
Yeah. So, chilling in this dungeon, he's making escape plans the whole time. So, when he finally gets out after the 61 days, he's in the kitchen and he steals lemon extract. And... he ends up distilling this into liquor. Then he got 10 of the other prisoners drunk enough to attack the guards. And in the chaos of this, he helped half a dozen prisoners escape.
I gotta say, you can say what you want to about him, but he's got some pretty good leadership capabilities.
Right.
Like he's a natural leader.
Right.
I've got balls.
After these half a dozen prisoners escape, he then taught other men how to smuggle hacksaw blades out of the workshop and cut their window bars.
And, of course, he doesn't need that. He'll just yank them free.
Yeah, right. So a bunch more prisoners escaped because they were able to cut their bars and break their windows. So it's not just the tiny guys that can get out now. It's everyone.
Yeah.
And then he met another man. His name was Otto Hooker. And he helped Otto escape. And Otto was out helping evacuate other people. Otto, as he takes off, ends up getting caught. But the warden went out looking for all of these men, too. And Otto ends up killing the warden.
So he is Bane's favorite guy right now.
Well,
that or he's pissed at him because he's like,
because he wanted
he
to
was
do
mine.
It. Yeah.
Otto was brought back to the prison, but he was not charged with the warden's murder. The man was.
Mm-hmm.
Because he had helped Otto escape. So this added 7 more years to the man's sentence. But he didn't know that because he had been placed back in the dungeon. So when he got out of the dungeon, now there's a new warden, and he's had an additional 7 years put on his sentence because he's now been charged for murder.
Right.
So our man finally escaped in September of 1917. He made a dash to the first house he found and got clothes and found a .38.
Nice.
When he got to the train station, a sheriff recognized him and they ended up in a gunfight. Other officers arrived and our man ended up running out of ammunition. So when he ran out of ammo, he ended up being secured and they took him back to Salem. Well, the new warden wasn't so just any warden.
Is, he is strong like a bull, but he's no fucking Billy the Kid.
Mm-hmm. So the new warden at the prison is actually the older brother of the warden who had been murdered.
Oh, shit. Oh,
that's good news.
Yeah. And the new warden was forcing prisoners to build a new prison inside of the prison, and it was known as the Bullpen. Any troublemakers in the process of building the bullpen were thrown into solitary and they were starved to death. So only 10 people that were thrown into solitary confinement ended up living.
Holy shit. Wow.
Yeah. And then in the bullpen, there was a chalk circle drawn in the yard and you stood in the chalk circle with your hands on the prisoner in front of you, shoulders. And if anyone stepped out or ended up getting, like, rowdy, they were shot immediately.
Fuck.
That's a strict fucking game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So word of this ended up getting out and to the state. And the state was like, we can't have this. This isn't.
Not legal.
Cruel and unusual is what it is. And
yeah, this isn't a correctional facility. This is a murder squad. Like, we can't do this. Mm. So the new warden was fired.
Adolf, what's your last name? Hitler? What's going on?
My name's Adolf Stalin.
So when that warden was fired, they replaced him with a very different type of human. The new warden was basically like soft daddy.
this is fucking hilarious, too.
Don't do that. Don't do it. Stop it.
Zach, you're going to enjoy this. This is pretty fucking funny.
He was extremely accommodating, so much so that when he met with the man, he was like, hey, so I see that you've tried to escape. And I see that you were successful at escaping, but you ended up getting caught. And I know that the thing's going, like, you've been helping other prisoners escape. This kind of stuff is going on. So basically what I'm getting from this is you need some freedom, even though you're incarcerated. So this is what I'm going to do for you. If you'll stop trying to escape and you will relax a little bit and basically stop hurting all of my guards, I'm going to let you leave for the day.
I'll give you a hall pass.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
So
let's just see how it goes.
You have from this time to this time every day.
But where you better be back at 5 o'clock sharp, or you're going to be in trouble. You're grounded.
Curfew, buddy. Curfew.
Yeah. So you can leave from this time to this time every single day, but you have to be back by this time. And let's just live out your next. Basically, I'm just giving you a place to live.
He's saying, you're dear just... God, don't kill me.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Basically.
You fucking monster.
This reminds me of the way that I was brought up versus the way my children are being brought up right now. This is what I'm getting from this.
It's a bit different.
It's a little bit different, yeah.
It's a little different.
You've never been beaten till your butt was bleeding. This is fucked up. Yeah, never.
Yeah.
Spank you. So
when our guy leaves the first time, he's like, fuck this. I am not going back. So he actually does head to the train station. But then he has some sort of change of heart. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to see what this is about. And so he goes back the first night.
I think he thought it was a trap.
Yeah, kind of. So the warden's like, hey, cool. Came back. Maybe we can extend your leeway time. Like, so if you want to leave at this time, come back at this time. Like, totally cool. Just be here.
So you were a good boy. So now you don't get 4 hours. Now you get 5.5 or 6.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically.
Good boys get rewarded. And by the way, don't kill me.
Yeah. So our man and the warden end up being actually kind of friends, and the warden is teaching him.
Because the warden's like, thank God he likes me. God he likes me.
The warden gets him into sports, teaches him how to play baseball, and the man's like, you know, I'm not really digging the actual playing. Like, it kind of hurts my ankles because, you know, he's had his ankles shattered with hammers.
Should be me.
So the warden's like, okay, cool. You know what? Let's keep you as a part of the team so that you can go out on tour with the baseball team, with the prison's baseball team, to other prisons, and you can just be like the gear handler or whatever. So he gets to go and leave on the bus with the other prisoners to different prisons to hang out during baseball games. Then he comes back.
I picture the bus breaking down and he just picks it up and carries it. No, the guy's staying there. I got this. It's only 37 miles to the next town. We got it.
Then the warden's like, hey, listen, I think that music might help focus your anger a little bit. Like,
let's
get you into some music. So the man can't, he's really not good at the music portion of it, but he ends up being like the leader of the marching band. So
didn't see that coming, did you, Zach?
What the fuck?
He's not throwing a baton though. It's like a rail from the railroad.
Dildo? He's throwing up a dildo. Is that?
It's like a big piece of eye iron, and he just tosses about like.
So he gets to put together like all of the events and stuff for the marching band, the prison marching band.
He's an event planner.
Yeah. What? Yeah, essentially. The man starts to get leery of what's going on, and he's like, something's not right here. Like, he just can't trust this, and he can't just leave well enough alone and serve out his time and end this. So instead he decides, you know what? I've got 4 years. That's it. I've got 4 years left on my sentence. I'm out of here.
Can you blame him for not trusting someone? He's like, no, this is all just building up to a bigger fuck me is what it is. That's what he would think in his head. Because his whole life he's been constantly beat down and fucked over. So he's like, this is just going to hurt more because I actually think these people care.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I can't blame him. I honestly can't blame him. But, I mean, God, you only have 4 years left, dude.
I know, but how many times can you be shit on before you're finally just like, I'm done. I'm not going to be shit on anymore. I'm fucking done with it.
The first time, Matt, it took 17 years. And for you, the first time, it took how many years?
20.
Okay, so there you go. That's how long it took for us. Apparently, he didn't want to stick around even that long. So,
yeah. So on May 12th, I didn't have the year. He escapes. And he changes his name. He changes his appearance. And he is now changing his crimes in every new town that he comes to.
So he got smarter.
He did end up getting arrested several times. But he escaped each time that he was imprisoned.
Well, if you can pull the bars off the window, you could just crawl out. So, right. Yeah, right. He's right. Good. I don't care.
Just after
Sin City or whatever, when Marv's trying to pull the bars off.
Yes. So just after he escapes from Rusk, Texas, he is on a train and he sees another man on this train. So he's decided when he escapes from Rusk, he decides that he's going to go south of the border. He's headed for Mexico. He's out of here.
Did this other man bum a cigarette and a drink of his whiskey to give him some advice?
No.
Did he say, you got to know when to hold him and know when to bend him over and fuck him up the ass?
Close. The other man is flashing a bunch of cash that he had just earned from working the oil fields.
Don't count your money.
Yeah, basically.
When you're sitting on the train tracks, because some big ass fucking Hulk guy's going to come and take it all.
That's why he was going to say, come in your ass.
Matt, this is not that kind of show.
No, this is
that kind of show.
Yes, it is.
Is this where we're going? Are we getting ready to transition to that?
Yes.
Rape monster.
Is this the point where it goes really dark?
Yes, actually.
Okay, then at this point,
let's take a pause.
We're
going to
transition after this point, so go ahead and say what you got to say.
Let's take a pause real quick.
After you say this sentence, we're going to take a little pause.
Okay.
So the man decides that he is going to follow the guy off of the train, and he cannot figure out if it's he just, like, because the man was flashing cash, yes, but it wasn't like an enormous amount of cash. It was just enough to catch his eye.
Yeah, but look at the way he was dressed. He was fucking asking for it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So.
Booty shorts? Really?
So the two guys get off the train, and dude grabs the other guy, puts his arms around him, pulls him out of earshot from everybody else, and the man that was on the train that was flashing the cash was beat for the money, and then beat for him to take his clothes off, and then he was choked while he was being raped. And when the man was finished, he realized that he had choked the guy to death. And in this, he's realized that was a fucking rush, and that was exactly what he had been looking for his whole life.
I came a cup after I feel that.
So mine snapped.
Okay.
Brief intermission. Back. I'm going to go vomit.
So what you're saying is shit's going to get real now. That's what you're saying.
Uh-huh. Yes, so very, very real.
It's time
real.
To break out the big guns is what you're saying.
Uh-huh. Real bad. Real bad.
Yes. So he decides now.
Unleash the Kraken.
He decides now that he is not going to leave America after all. And he bought a train ticket to New York. And once he got there...
New York City!
New York City. So once he gets there, he basically drinks. And when this man is drunk, he comes up with some seriously devastating schemes. So he was talking to some city workers who basically... He found out where, like, the whole city's drinking water came from, and he was thinking about poisoning the drinking supply.
Now he's Scarecrow.
Yeah, and, like schemes like that. He is serious. He's planning some serious widespread murder. But...
Gonna get some numbers.
These schemes... These ideas, they go away basically when his sobriety returns.
This guy's
returns.
Like the Joker, but he's got, he's built like Rambo, but he's the Joker.
No.
Yeah.
And then he wakes up in the morning and goes, no, I can't be bothered. That was stupid. That was a bad idea.
So when he's sober, he decides that he needs to get a job. And he is actually given a job on a Navy ship. And they gave him some funds to... You know, get everything squared away, basically, whatever.
Wait. In the Navy. Sorry. And then YMCA.
He's the Hulk character.
Yeah. Can you imagine the Hulk doing that? And be like, I love all these really, really active men that are all really good physique. Can't wait to go hang out with them all. Maybe bend them over and spit on my cock and, you know, whatever happens.
And Zach has officially broken open the whiskey.
There we go. Like the way your ass looks in that suit, boy. Yeah.
So they gave him some funds to get his affairs in order. And instead of doing that, he went to the bar and got shit-faced.
Mm-hmm.
So he shows up. He reports for duty, basically, drunk. And they let him, they let him on the ship, but then, like, the captain realizes that he's trash. And
they're not condoms, they're balloons for a party.
He gets tossed off of the boat.
Tossed off, okay.
Yeah, well, thrown off.
Okay.
So he goes and gets drunk again, and as when he's drunk this time, he decides that he's going to set his target of destruction real high this time to the man who basically fucked up his life to begin with. And he believes that this is William Howard Taft, who...
He's going for the top, huh?
He's going right up there. He's going, yeah.
I'm going over the top, man. Well, I'm going over the top.
So he has... Taft has now served his time as president. He's served his time in different councils, different whatever. And he's now just a professor at Yale. Well, the man is successful, and he breaks into Taft's house, and he stole thousands of dollars worth of loot and a .45 caliber pistol.
I don't remember. Was it a 1911?
It didn't say.
I think it was.
Staring down the barrel of a .45.
I thought he was going staring down the barrel of a gun by fucking the Beastie Boys.
I thought about that, too. Yeah.
So... he fences everything but the gun. The gun is priceless. This man's revenge plot, because this gun is registered to William Howard Taft.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to go and he's going to commit murder with this gun. And every time he commits murder with this gun, Taft is going to be questioned. Because it's registered to Taft.
It's in the street. It's Taft a gate.
So... he fences everything for $3,000.
Holy shit, that's a lot of money back then.
Yeah.
He got a bunch of shit.
Yeah. So he buys a yacht called the Akista, and he sailed the
Wait
East...
a minute. He bought a yacht?
A yacht. Yeah.
Does he know how to sail?
Eesh.
He learns.
It sounds like
he'll have a couple yachts.
In the Navy.
So he sailed the East River, and while he's sailing the East River, he is stopping and looting boats that are docked.
He's a fucking pirate now.
Yes.
This guy has been every villain that you can imagine.
Yes.
Yar, been I'm Pirate Steve, yar. I'm a butt pirate too, yar.
Yep.
So he ends up filling his yacht with luxury and liquor. And he... heads to the Bronx, and he anchors off the coast of City Island. So in City Island, basically everybody is just kind of a keep to yourself type of person. There's a bunch of fishermen, a bunch of sailors, that kind of stuff. It's basically just like a ship city.
Forget about it.
Yeah. So he docks, and then he...
he docks?
Okay.
Or he anchors.
You said he
anchors off the coast, and he heads to the speakeasies in Manhattan to find sailors who were looking for work until their next duty. And
you said duty.
So the sailors...
he wants a fucking pirate crew.
Yeah. So the sailors would go with him, and... they would find that the work was super easy. Basically, it's just having a conversation with this person, because...
if you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball. That's what I'm thinking of. It's like dodgeball.
He's training them.
Yarr.
So the man is basically doing everything. He just, you know, he asks for like, hey, hand me that wrench or whatever. And then the man makes dinner and they end up drinking. Until the sailor who had joined him would get so drunk that they could barely fight. And then the man would rape them and kill them with Taft's .45.
Fuck.
After they were dead, a rock would be tied around their ankles and they would be tossed over the ship at Execution Rock.
He'd just pull a Dexter.
Yeah. 10 sailors.
Not as planned.
Yeah, not his plan. 10 sailors ended up dying this way and were thrown overboard at Execution Rock.
Wow. That we know.
So The man felt the eyes of the area's fishermen on him. They knew that he was bringing different people back to his boat all the time. They realized that his crew was changing almost daily. And
so what you're telling me is so far this guy's raped countless people. Mm-hmm. And now he's killed 10 people.
11.
At least.
No, I'm fucking... He's
killed 11.
I fucking hate these episodes. Anyway, keep going. You were saying?
So, he decides
that... He's a supervillain.
He decides that it's time to go, but he needs to go to the speakeasies one more time to find two sailors to sail with him.
These sailors... Was he like, hey, why don't you come sail away with me? Come sail away.
Man, and I can't get through without singing the whole song.
Come sail away. Come sail away.
So these two sailors were surprisingly willing to do all of the devastating things that the man asked them to do.
What does any of this have to do with gay porn?
They helped him raid and loot every yacht possible on their way to Atlantic City. He intended to deliver the same fate to these sailors as he had the others, but when they came near Atlantic City, it was August of 1920, and August of this year was a particularly bad year in the waters, and they were getting really bad, really choppy. And the guy is... I mean, he's sailed a little bit, but he's not like...
He's an amateur.
He needs him. Yeah. He needs him. He needs him, so yeah. he can't let him go.
They end up... the Akista ends up getting thrown by the waves into some rocks, and it broke the hull. And
oh, shit.
So the ship ends up sinking along with everything in it. So all of the loot's gone, all of the luxuries are gone, and unfortunately for the guy, so is Taft's gun. Everybody ended up surviving this. So the man ended up swimming to shore, so did the two sailors, but the two sailors somewhere realized that
this motherfucker's crazy.
He's not going to let us go when we're done. When we make it to Atlantic City, he's going to kill us. So they actually swam to a different area of shore and they got away, which these are the only two people who the man had intended to kill that ever lived.
Wow. Okay.
So he decides, I'm going to stay off the water for a little while. And he ends up riding the rails again for a little bit, brutalizing men on his way. But he's not getting very much pleasure from this because he has now figured out that it's the murder portion of it that he enjoys. So he decides to return to New Haven, New York for more loot. He picked a house, but unfortunately for him, the family was awake and the staff were still present. And the staff realized that they could get away while he's doing whatever with the family, and they went and called the police. And because they're in a high profile city and tax Cops house right had there. Already been looted,
New Haven's pretty up there. Yeah.
Yes. The police were called and he was arrested. He used a fake name and he ended up getting 6 months. After this stint, which he actually did.
I know what Zach's thinking. What is this, Canada?
Yeah.
6 months.
Six months, exactly.
So after this stint, he decided he needed gainful employment again, and he was hired on by the Flying Squadron of the Seamen's Union.
Did you just say seamen?
Seamen's Union.
You said seamen.
Mm-hmm. So he was hired on both as a sailor, and the union got the added benefit of him being their muscle, because now...
She's a bulldozer.
Yeah, New York is now on strike. Mm. So
he's a fucking scab?
No. He is their muscle against the scabs, the strike breakers, and the blacklegers this time, because the blacklegers are actually starting to help the scabs in New York to
For those that get don't know, Lindy, can you explain what a scab is?
A scab is basically it's a
person that crosses a picket line during a strike to go to work, right?
Yes. Yep.
And what's a blacklegger?
A blacklegger is a person who is supposed to work for the company to harm or dissuade the strikers from striking.
Okay.
So they use violence to go up against the strikers.
Okay. I just I thought we need to explain that to me.
Yeah. So, as the strikers and scabs and all of those people are starting to, they're gearing up for something. So if they started to use weapons, the man started to use weapons. So at some point, people acquire guns, right? And a firefight ends up breaking out between the man and the blackleggers. And then when police showed up, the man didn't stop at the blacklegers. He fired at the cops.
But it starts. I'm in this deep.
Yeah. So.
Say hello to my little friend.
You want to play rough? Okay. We play rough.
So somehow everyone actually ended running out of ammunition. So it was a ceasefire because there was no more bullets.
Because they're fucking shots.
So. When everything gets settled and everyone's out of ammunition, everybody's arrested, nobody has any idea who really started this battle. So all of the union men are bonded out by the union, and investigators are hired to look into the situation, and they uncovered a shit ton about the man. They've realized he's been using fake names, that all of he's got warrants. All of these things are out on the man.
He's a bad, bad.
Yeah, he's bad, bad
man.
He's so, Leroy Brown.
When the bad investigators man in the
whole damn town.
When the investigators go down to the docks to look for the guy, they realize he's vanished. They have no fucking clue where he's gone. They investigated.
I'm the magic man.
Yeah.
I want to do some Dropkick Murphys right now, but I'm not going.
So they actually investigated everyone. They investigated the company. They investigated other union workers. They investigated people that this man might know in the area. They were searching people's homes for him. They really wanted to arrest this guy. And nobody actually had any idea where he went. They started looking at railroads, everything.
Because I'm the magic man. Now you see me. Now you don't.
They're like, where the fuck did this guy go? Well, turns out he actually stowed away on a ship that was headed for Portugal. And so it was headed for Portugal, and then it was supposed to go to Africa. And after a few days, the man comes out of the bottom of the ship and lets the captain know, like, hey, I'm here. The captain's pissed that somebody was able to stow away on a ship.
But he looks at him, he's like, you're like fucking Rambo, and I'm not going to fuck with you.
Yeah, right. He's like, you're a fucking brick shit house. All right, no. Here we go. I'm going to let you work.
You got a ticket to ride.
Yeah, I'm going to let you work and earn your keep here.
So long as you don't beat the living fuck out of me.
Yeah, so.
Go to your corner.
He earns his keep and then some. Like, this guy is worth 15 guys on his own. And the captain's like, fuck, okay, awesome. They stop in Portugal. Trying to
fuck me up the ass, we're all good.
Yeah. They stop in Portugal, and then they end up going to Africa. And the captain, when they get to Africa, was like, hey, stay on. Work for me. Stay on the ship, please.
Yeah.
And the man's like, you know what? I'm going to be 100% honest with you. This is a lot like prison.
It's not my bag, baby. It's not my bag. Yeah.
This is a lot like prison, and it's just not for me. And no, I appreciate you letting me stay on the ship and not throwing me off in Portugal, but I'm done.
Yeah, so I kind of want your job.
Yeah, so they shake hands and part ways. Well, in Africa, the man found that the Sinclair Oil Company was doing expeditory exploration in Angola, and he was like, oh, well, you know, no matter what job that they put me in, I can do this. Well, this is early 1900s in Africa, white men of high power, so they won't hire white men as field workers. So the man is immediately given a job as a crew lead. And he pushed his men so hard that, well, they ended up.
They were like, oh, yeah. Kill all the white men.
The other crew leads were disgusted with the way that he worked his men. And they were like, listen, that's
not humane. It's not humane.
Not humane even for what we do.
Yeah.
But the Sinclair Oil Company was like, you know what?
Profits.
And
we can look the other way.
They produced the most. So the man was rewarded, like, handsomely, extremely handsomely. And he was given a cabin to live in, and meals were covered. They had, like, a mess hall, and it was free drinks, free meals, free rent, and he was getting paid. So he was living this life. He was like...
And women, but he was like, nah, not my bag.
Yeah. He's all about this. So... He knew he could have a life here. His sadism was welcomed as long as it wasn't towards a white man.
It was welcomed. It was rewarded.
Yes. Yes. Like,
beat the fuck out of him. Yeah, there
what
you go.
What a fucked up thing.
So he was like,
He found his calling.
Wait,
what he was designed to do.
Wait.
Okay.
Oh, no. This is glass number three.
Continue.
So he himself has decided that he needs to show that he's a man, because all of these other men are bringing women around.
Wait a minute. What the fuck does he have to prove?
Just give it a second.
That he can live the same way that the other men that worked for the company lived. So they're bringing around women, they've got dates, they're doing these things, and the man could not admit that he was a homosexual. Could not do it. And besides that, you can't...
Well, he's not a homosexual. You have to be a human first.
Yeah. So. In this place, at this time, working with a bunch of other men, it wouldn't have been anywhere near acceptable to admit that was right. The kind of sex that you liked. So he decides that he is going to go to a local family that deals in sex trafficking, basically, of their own children, and he pays them $6 for their 8-year-old daughter. They swore to him that she was a virgin. And so he takes her back to his cabin, and other men saw him, but the man couldn't perform, and he blamed it on his fear of infection. So he conducted an examination of the girl.
Six years old?
No, this one was 8 years old.
Might as well be six. Yeah, same thing.
But he paid them $6 for her.
$6. Okay, that's
what it was. Yeah. So
your child for $6.
Yep. Yeah. So
who's the monster now?
Oh, everybody involved in the situation. Yeah.
Everybody in the situation
for a while. Yeah.
So he conducts an examination of the girl that took all night, and then he ended up being furious. He picked her up, he took her home. She was tore up and bleeding, and he hands her back to the family, and he says she is not a virgin.
Yeah, but she's tore up and bleeding now, so she's not worth anything.
So he demands their 6-year-old daughter. And the family couldn't do anything about it, so they handed her over. And he gets her back. And something snaps in his head, and he realizes now that he was a monster. Because he didn't like women. And
No, that's not the reason.
But he actually... The only thing that happened to this little girl was he did take her back and strip her, but he didn't touch her in any way, shape, or form other than taking her clothes off. She put her clothes back on. He carried her back home, gave her back to the family.
She's fucking six.
Yeah.
What's to look at?
Exactly. So this little girl, fortunately for this little girl, she was unharmed other than the an old man just took my clothes off. Oh, which is yeah, terrible. Fortunate for which her, is terrible.
But she was but also she sold probably a year later.
Probably.
Probably, yeah.
Lindy?
Yes.
Whatever you do next, no children. We got to take a break from the kids. Okay. Yeah, yeah. This is what fucks me up more than anything else.
Yeah, that's what bothers me more than anything. It's like, no, you might actually be a demon if you can do that to a child. You just, that maybe it is real. Yeah, maybe you are. Because you have to be something other than a human to do things like that. It's just fucking monsters.
This is the reason I bought this, is because I figured out who it was. And yeah.
Mm-hmm. I will strive to find some sort of monster who didn't touch children. Yeah. I'll do my best.
Okay. I can't do this every week.
Well, so, Jack the Ripper coming up.
I hope so.
Okay.
That would be a lighter episode, actually, really.
It probably would be, yeah. So he starts drinking all night, every night in the mess hall. And he's a generous tipper. So there's this server there who doesn't mind that the man is staying longer than everybody else and well into the evenings. And after a little while, the server, when everybody else would leave, because the server was black. So after everybody else leaves, the man starts inviting the server to sit down with him and smoke cigarettes and drink. And the man ends up brutally raping the server, and the server reports it, which the supervisor knew that if a black man would come to him and report that this had happened, this was bad. Like,
yeah, it had to be true.
Extremely bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you would just aid it for what would have happened to you afterwards after you reported it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the supervisor's like, okay, well, if he reported it to me and it was this bad and I don't do anything about it, this is going to get around. And instead of letting all of the men find out and all of them end up getting hurt because they're going to confront this man about this, and he's a fucking monster.
We've established that part, yeah.
Yeah. He's like, I've got to protect the rest of my crew from what will happen. Yeah, and I don't need to protect this man from the rest of the crew. I need to protect the rest of the crew from this man, because if these guys pick a fight, they're going to fucking lose.
Yeah, a lot.
So
he's fucking Ivan Drago.
Yeah.
So, I must break you. You're gonna lose, you die. You're gonna lose blood. You're gonna lose virginity.
Yeah. So the supervisor calls the man in and he tells him why he's being let go. And we already know the man has a temper, so he didn't take this news very well. And he beat the supervisor into a coma.
I must break you.
Yeah. So then
he does.
Then he leaves and he goes to the American consulate and he demands a berth back to America. But the American consulate was like,
bitch,
we know who you are.
Who the fuck you is?
Go fuck yourself.
Yeah. We know who you are. And America doesn't want you back. So actually what you should do is you should crawl into the woods and you should never come back.
He'd be perfectly fitted for doing that, actually. He would just live like an animal. And
just go out like Charlie Sheen and live on some tiger's blood?
Yeah. So the man goes back to Luanda, and he set up camp in an abandoned park area. And there was a young man who came stumbling through the park area. He was looking for the Sinclair Oil Company. Like, there was supposed to be an encampment in the area. And the man was like, oh, well, come with me. I'll show you where it's at. The young man ended up raped and murdered. The guy smashed his head in with a rock. Well, the Sinclair Oil Company had basically forgotten all about the guy. And one night...
I don't know how, but...
Right?
Okay, yeah.
One night, one of their rigs was set on fire.
It's not funny. My rig is on fire.
Yeah. So everybody's panicking and they're trying to figure out how this has caught. Like, is our machine faulty? Are there people who were being careless and like smoking on the job? What the fuck is going on? So they put the fire out and the man slipped away to Libido Bay.
Libido Bay.
You said libido?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it's called. And here there is a huge tourist attraction where the crocodiles here are intense.
Massive.
Yeah. They are psychotic big.
And if you like eat them, you like get super horny, baby.
Yeah. All you need to do is look at the beach.
So it's
are you Randy? Are you?
It's very common for rich people to come out here and hire crews to take them crocodile hunting. Like, they go out on a ship, they're gone for a few days, and...
What a bad idea.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
and
the man...
You come back or you don't.
Yeah. The man with... Because he's still got money from the Sinclair Oil Company, from his job there, he decides that he's going to hire a 6-man crew with a boat to take him crocodile hunting. And he doesn't let
Does he go
any
like,
other...
Give me a bushy stick, honey. No, not that one. Not that one. Get another one. It's not bushy enough. Crikey.
So the 6-man crew takes him out, and on the second night... He was able to lure each man away from the camp individually.
Fucking pull the Rambo again.
He's a sweet talker, buddy. Sweet talker.
Yeah. So he gets them away from the camp. He rapes all 6 of them and kills all 6 of them.
What the fuck?
Then.
Insatiable.
Yeah. Then he drives the boat back into town. And
like nothing. And it's like, this is my boat, bitches.
Yeah, everybody's
no,
like...
No, it is. Yeah, it's his boat now.
Everybody's
boat.
Like, where's your crew? And he's
what
like,
crew?
Oh, they all got 8.
Crocs
which
got them.
After he killed them, they had all got 8. The crocodiles just...
Oh, yeah.
But the man comes back and he doesn't have a scratch on him. He doesn't...
Is this where Elton John got the idea for Crocodile Rock?
Mm-hmm. It's exactly... It's exactly Rick.
Sorry.
So...
Lemony!
Basically, he's like, all right, well, I've been caught here, and it's time to bounce. So this time he goes to Angola, and he goes to the consulate here, and he's like, hey, get me back to America. And they're like, hey, fuck off.
Mm-hmm.
So...
No, keep fucking off.
And...
Fuck off, you big hoser.
And the consulate and the Sinclair Oil Company and the people from Libido Bay are all like, be on the lookout for this guy because he's dangerous. Like, pretty sure he just killed 6 people. So ships
like
are watching
crocodile.
For him. Yeah. Ships are watching for him.
I bet he raped a crocodile even. He's so fucking scary. They were scared of me.
So
I
if he's
biting that thing.
So as he's going up to ships bound for America, trying to, you know, get passage on one of these ships, they're like, no. Well, he does end up stowing away on a ship that was headed for Portugal, and he repeated his previous procedure. So he ends up in Portugal, and there he committed a couple of crimes, but since Portugal is so small... The police caught on to who it was super quick, and he tried again to get help from the consulate, but he was turned away here too. And here, this consulate wasn't as forward as the other two were, but they were like, no. So, and here they've also told everybody bound for America, like, hey, don't board this passenger. So everybody here is looking for him. Well, this time he's able to stow away on a British naval ship, but he was
Bloody
discovered.
Hell.
Yeah, he was discovered. And the British Navy are like, we're not tolerating this shit. So he was thrown in.
It's pretty by the book.
Okay, okay, okay. Yeah. They didn't say, like, we're not tolerating this shit. They said, this will bloody well not go. You're going to have to go.
We're having this.
I'm really, really quite sorry about this, but you're going to have to go.
So he actually
Come on, mate.
Gets his...
You got to go.
He gets his ass kicked, and he gets thrown into the brig.
How many of them did it take?
It doesn't say. It just says.
That's how many they used.
Yeah.
This is like one of those, how many dead babies can you fit in a barrel jokes? I don't know.
How many it a took. Lot. But it took a lot. However many that it took.
Yeah. So he's thrown into the brig and not taken anything ever. So he survives being in the brig on this ship for by eating rats.
Yeah. This motherfucker is tough as nails.
Yeah.
But it's probably like a fucking vacation compared to like all his time in prison. Huh? So it's like, it's just another fucking day.
Yeah. It's just another day in his life. And
he's the original fucking gangster right there.
Yeah.
He's something.
So they make it back to Britain and he was imprisoned, but he slipped out in the laundry. And they didn't let him go, so there had not been any sort of warning put out to any ships here. So he was actually hired on a merchant ship that was headed to America. And he made it back to New York in 1922, and then he made his way to Salem, Massachusetts, in search of a yacht to steal.
Where they hung him because they thought he was a witch.
We're very close. We're close.
Damn. So would that be the story?
So he makes his way around and ends up in Salem, Massachusetts, looking for another yacht still. And in Salem, as he's walking down the road, he meets 11-year-old George Henry McMahon. And they are chatting for a while. And then the man offered the boy a job that would pay 50 cents. And the boy was like, yeah. So they boarded a trolley and they rode about 15 minutes to an isolated part of town where the man raped and killed the boy.
Yeah, Chikatilo style right there.
Yes. 3 days later, George was found and a manhunt ensued for the stranger, but he remained at large. He made his way back to Westchester, New York, and he managed to get a job as a night watchman and get an apartment. And there was this teenage boy who started hanging around the mill after the man's shift was over and would share cigarettes and moonshine with the man. And they ended up actually engaging in consensual sex. They entered into some semblance of a relationship, which made the man realize...
I'm surprised that was blowing his skirt up after he was, you know, so excited about the other stuff, how he could just go back into the regular. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. So this made the man realize that if he could have, or like that he could have a life like this without having done everything that he had ever done. And he realized that if he had been able to just do that, like if he could just have this life and not have had to have done any of that, then he sincerely is a monster.
Right.
Like, so the man now realizes that he is a monster at this point.
Right.
But he also can't control it now. So he decides
too many years of being built up and you're a fucking volcano.
Yeah. So he decided that he needed to go be wild and free, but he didn't want to leave his new love behind. So they made a pact that the man would go do what he needed to do. And then he would come back to collect his guy. And he stole a 38-foot long yacht and sailed back to Long Island Sound. And his desire to get back his young love was really strong. So he tried to be smarter about his crimes. He was still raping and robbing, but only like middle class people and middle class homes.
Only middle class people. Only middle class. Well,
absence makes the heart go stronger.
Yeah. So then he realized that the yachts moored near him were left abandoned at night. So he looted them. And in June, he went back and he did actually pick up his love. The young man was not very good at sea, and he kept getting sick. So the man decided to sell the yacht and get them something on land. And when he was out, he did find a potential buyer, and he came back to the ship, and they were going over everything and talking about everything, and like they sat down to have dinner, and the potential buyer kept trying to get the price down and kept trying to get the price down, and the man realized what was going on. So he prepared himself, and the potential buyer ended up pulling a gun on the man and his love.
This dude does suffer pretty good. I mean, for what he did. I mean, I couldn't imagine the way he goes out, but yeah, it's...
So the man ended up being faster than the potential buyer was, and he put a bullet through the robber's head. Well, his lover couldn't handle that the man wouldn't go to the police and report what had happened, because this was legitimate. Like, you killed this man for a legitimate reason.
Was it really legitimate? Like, you're talking about...
Well, if he's trying to kidnap you or kill you, then it's self-defense. It doesn't matter if it's on a boat or not. So, yeah, he'd been fine.
You're a criminal, and
that's the thing that his lover doesn't know is how bad his rap sheet is, and it's longer than the state of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
So, the next morning, when the man left the ship because he needed to go in and get some nets and some other things.
Because he had the gonorrhea, cha-cha-cha.
So when he's gone, his lover wakes up and he's like, okay, I'm alone on this boat. He jumps ship, and instead of swimming to the nearest port, he actually swam to Newburgh, and he reported the man. So what he says to police...
So we just got the Mary Celeste out there just floating along with no one on it.
Yeah. So he told the police that he had been offered a false job, raped, and that the murdered man had been unarmed. And so the man had just committed murder. So
this guy, okay, he likes to put it in people's butts, but, you know, he's not a bad guy. I kind of like him, but, you know, he kind of scared me, so... anyway, he killed these people, and then I jumped over the ship, and then, like, you know, like,
And that's word for word, mm-hmm. his report.
So the man gets back to the yacht, and he realizes that he's been abandoned. Like, his young lover has left, and he doesn't try and go find him or anything, but he is devastated. He didn't realize that he could suffer heartbreak like that. So he sailed for the rest of the day, and he made it to the village of Nyack, where he docks for the night. He goes down below, and he falls asleep, and he wakes up to a shotgun barrel in his face. Organized crime is now a thing, and it had gotten police forces to actually organize themselves, and they were now speaking to each other. So... everywhere in the area was aware that there's a man at large, and they had put out word to all of the ship docks. So when he docked at the shipyard,
they were like,
"Let freedom ring with a shotgun blast!"
Yeah, so he gets taken to prison in Yonkers, and he was he's only there for a few days before making his first escape attempt, which he actually was caught and tossed into solitary. And then he concocted a plan, and he contacted an attorney. The attorney agreed to take the case and pay his bail of $5,000 in exchange for the yacht. What the attorney doesn't know is that the yacht had been confiscated by the police as stolen property. So now the man's free, and the attorney is out $5,000.
Suck it. I don't feel bad for him at all.
So the man steals another yacht, and...
Rock music in the background this whole episode right now.
So
like a yacht rock.
He steals this yacht from a doctor, and the doctor was like... he reports it that it's been stolen, but he's like, it's actually a blessing in disguise. Like, if you don't find it, I don't care, because that whole, the whole lower portion, everything under the water that you can't see,
rotting.
Rotted. It's rotted out.
I would have left that out just so, you know, I can collect the insurance.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bye-bye, so, dumbass.
So he ends up, this yacht is, it's not working properly, right? Mm-hmm. So
nope, he ends up, like, obviously.
Yeah, he ends up crashing this one into some rocks, and he goes back to Larchmont for a second attempt at another ship, but
crash that piece of shit and then stepped away.
Yeah, but it's the time of year where all of the vacationers are out, so everyone who has a yacht, they've all got him out on the water. Yeah. And he's like, okay, well, these people have to be coming into town from somewhere. So he decides that he's going to go to the train station.
I love it.
Sorry. So he decides that he's going to go to the train station, and he's like, okay, where would these people be storing their things? Because their things are going to be being delivered to them, right? Because they're, these people have all got money, so they're not going to carry their own bags. So all of their luggage has still been left on their train car. So he breaks into the train car, and he's going through everything, and he's hit the jackpot. Like, if he gets out of here, he has fucking made it for the rest of his life.
He's good.
Well...
But does he?
He had used an axe to shatter the window into the car, and he's going through all of this stuff, and he doesn't realize that an officer had watched him go in, so the officer followed him in and was right behind him, and the guy didn't notice until he heard the hammer click on the officer's gun. So the man turns around, and as he turns around, he grabs the axe and charges at the officer. But the officer knew, like, if I give in any way, shape, or form, if I'm going to lose my fucking life. This guy's going to kill me.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the officer actually gets lucky and ends up overpowering the man, because the man hadn't slept for a couple of days. And
did he have, like, fucking kryptonite bullets or some shit?
This had to have been the luckiest fucking officer ever.
Just massive amounts of adrenaline, and it's fight or flight, and he picked fight, so.
Yeah. The officer's got
Irish.
Adrenaline going.
What do you think? I bet he was Irish.
Yeah, probably. So
his last name was like O'Connor.
So the officer's working on adrenaline, and the man's working on no sleep, no food, no anything. He's got no energy, nothing. So fortunately for the officer, he ends up overpowering the man. They're able to get the guy to prison. Dude's booked in Larchmont, and the judge set bail at $5,000, and the man was sent to await trial. He didn't want to hang around New York because he knew if he stayed, they would find out about more of his crimes, because they already are on the lookout for him from the investigation before. They figured out a bunch of his names, all that kind of stuff. So he's like, okay, I can't stay here. I need to confess, basically, and get to somewhere where I'm going to have a shorter sentence. So when an officer comes in and tries to force the man out of his cell, he tells the man, I've killed officers for less. And he told
him, does he say, like, something along the lines of, fuck you, I won't do what you tell me? Okay,
so the man
proceeds
to tell the officer stories from his time in Oregon. And so the officer stops, closes the door. He goes and he tells his chief, and the chief contacts Oregon and found out that the man was wanted to finish out his 14-year sentence there, which, remember, he's only got 4 years left of.
Dead or alive!
So he's
the Gremlin sing Bon Jovi.
He's tricked into pleading guilty again, and again ended up receiving the max sentence of 5 years. And
oh, stiff one.
He was sent to Sing Sing.
Hey. Hey, we're talking about a guy that raped people. You don't say shit like stiff one.
That's true. Yeah, I didn't warn them. Rough one doesn't work either.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So he's sent to Sing Sing, and everyone at Sing Sing actually was terrified.
They didn't want to Sing Sing
about it? No. They were terrified of him. So the warden at Sing Sing was like, get this man out of my fucking prison.
It's like Hannibal Lecter just rolled in, only he's in gin pop.
So they transferred him to the worst prison that New York had to offer, which was like 5 miles outside of Canada, and it's called Dannemora. So in Dannemora, as soon as he was delivered to Dannemora, they stripped him naked and they washed him down with snowmelt, and then they beat him with spike-tipped canes. And by the time he was taken to see the warden, he was
rock hard.
It was more like another day at the fucking office is what I'm hearing.
No.
No, it's pretty bad this time.
By the time he's taken to see the warden, he is messed up enough to actually slip up and give them his real name.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, they fucked him up. So he gives his real name instead of his alias, and the warden writes it down, puts it in the book, and that's what he's booked under. And in the first week there, the man built a bomb, but the guards found it and beat the man on suspicion that he built it. The second week, he hit a guard with a 10-pound club that knocked the guard unconscious. The third week...
Of course
week,
he did.
Mm-hmm. The third week, he built a 30-foot ladder to climb the wall out because they don't patrol the grounds at night because they figured that this 30-foot wall is enough to keep the prisoners in. Like, nobody can get out. Well,
they forgot about Bane / MacGyver.
Yeah. So he built this 30-foot ladder to climb the wall, and he almost made it. But on the last rung,
broke.
What he had used to build the ladder with, the last rung broke. The man fell. He fell the full 30 feet and he landed this way.
Holy shit.
So he shattered his ankles, his legs, his
easy there, spine. Jones.
He ruptured his groin and caused his organs to bulge out between his legs. So he looked like he had basically had a half a baby delivered out of his freaking nuts.
Right.
He deserved a lot more than that.
Yes.
Yes, true. But
so, no one's out patrolling the grounds. So
he's laying there.
He's left outside like that all night. He passed out from the pain. And in the morning, four guards come out and they collect him. And he is like moaning and groaning and begging for the hospital ward. He's thanking them for picking him up. And instead of taking him to get medical treatment, they threw him into solitary for 1 year and 2 months.
Suffer, motherfucker.
Yes. During that time, his bones healed incorrectly, and his organs are still bulging out of whatever down here.
And to quote the movie Seven, he's still got hell to look forward to.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Well, in this time, in the 1 and 2 months that he was in solitary, Oregon came to collect him, but they came to pick him up by his alias. So when they asked for him, the warden had no fucking clue who that was. So Oregon got sent away. And so the man remains in Dannemora. And when he gets taken out of solitary, he gets scheduled for surgery to fix his groin. And the prison ordered the doctor to remove one of the man's testicles in hopes that it would calm him down.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that doesn't work.
No.
And as soon as he could move, he crawls into the bed of another patient and he rapes them.
Testicales. It's pronounced testicales.
So the man gets thrown into solitary confinement for the rest of his 5-year sentence. And he gets released in 1928. So he goes to Philadelphia making plans to become a warlord and retire in Africa. But first, he needed to indulge in his deepest pleasure. Zach, goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
He met a little boy named Alexander Uzaki and promised him cash if he helped him. The little boy was raped and killed, and then the man made his way to Baltimore. Here, he found a young adult and demanded his money clip, and the young adult wouldn't oblige, so he was beaten to death. And then the guy heads to Washington, D.C., committing a clumsy string of burglaries. He was caught and thrown in jail. And he was caught trying to escape, so he was taken to another snorting pole. You're good. And this
time... What about the cocaine?
This time, when they hoisted him up to his tiptoes, he was consumed with pain. You know,
he's completely broken.
Yeah.
Inside and out.
So we've now figured out that when this man is to his breaking point, he starts spewing details. Stupid details, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's hoisted up to his tiptoes and he's consumed with pain and he threatened the guards and then he threatened their children and then he threatened their wives. And he ends up giving details on how he would and had killed in the past. And the guards reported what they had been told to them. And an investigation was launched. And the man was linked to all of his aliases and crimes. Witnesses from George McMahon's murder came forward. And witnesses from Alexander Uzaki's murder, they were too afraid to come forward because they thought for some reason he wasn't going to end up getting charged.
Right, because, he's been a free man for way too many years. Yeah.
So he does get sentenced to life, and he was sentenced to Leavenworth again. So he was in such a constant pain that he lost all of his will to escape. He didn't want to rule the roost anymore. He didn't even want to live. And he was given a job in the laundry room at the prison and left alone. Well, in Leavenworth, at this time, the rest of the prison, it wasn't heated very well, so the laundry room is actually the warmest room in the entire prison. And there was a guard that stumbled in there one winter day and sat there with the man. And the man was like, "What are you doing?" So,
and the guard was like,
the guard left. But a few days later, he came back, and when he came back to get some warmth this time, the guy actually ended up beating him to death with a copper pipe. And...
fucking Rambo.
Yeah, so the man was taken straight from the laundry room to death row, and on death row, he met and befriended a guard named Harry Lesser, and Lesser convinced the man to write his life. So he wrote a 2,000-word confession detailing everything that he could remember. He actually remembered enough that this is where this story came from.
Okay.
He was tried for the murder of Robert Warnke. On September 5th, 1930, he was taken to the gallows. He spit in the executioner's face and ducked his own head into the noose. They were asked him if he had any last words, and he continued to go on and on and on. They realized that he was not going to shut up, so the executioner pulled the lever and snapped his neck mid-sentence.
Holy fuck. All right.
No. I do...
I have one more question for you, Lindy. Who dis?
You know, I forgot. This is the man. I'm just kidding.
It was the boy in the first episode, but now it's the man. But who is the man?
The man that we are talking about, the monster that we are talking about in this episode, is Carl Panzeram.
That's what I fucking thought. Okay.
I knew who it was, but I couldn't remember, and I didn't want to look it up, so Lindy told me at the end of the last episode. But as soon as she said it, I was like, yeah, of course, yeah.
In the last one, if you listen, he said, Carl?
Carl!
Yeah, he did say Carl. He said it several times, actually. I didn't.
Like, God damn it, Carl, shut the fuck up! Or something like that. But
I thought he was doing some, I don't know, just...
Damn, get down!
Something like that.
Get down shit, yeah.
Thank you, Lindy.
Thank you, Thanks for indulging my mystery man.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. I'm Flar.
I'm Zach.
Lindy.
And we will see you
next Tuesday.
Yeah. What he said.
Later.
Bye. I was waiting for Zach.
I said that.
I didn't hear you.
You said it at the same time.
Bye.
I am a meat popsicle.
It's evil!
Don't watch
it!
It's alive! I was with you.
They're coming to get you.
By the power of Christ.
This is
me.
Hello, Mr. Fancy Pants.
What's my line, Zach? What's my line?